It just reminded us that recording is in progress. There you go. Great. So, full disclosure, twice. We have an agenda that is proposed. Just want to take suggestions, changes, anything that needs to be changed on the agenda that was sent out with our meeting notice. Now is that time. There someone? I'm looking at a document, so I'm not looking at my screen this very minute. Is there someone who'd like to say something about the agenda? Okay. We are going to then, I think, just formally approve our agenda, which is good practice to adopt the agenda as the Aging Council. So why don't we just do thumbs up? If you're ready for the agenda, good with the agenda the way it is, thumbs up. Otherwise, you don't have to say anything, but we'll assume you're good with it. Unless you object, you have to do that by turning your microphone on and letting us know. We have an opportunity for members of the public to share questions, comments, concerns.
There aren't any members of the public.
Oh, okay. My internet connection, it says, is unstable. I hope I'm not coming across to you as unstable. All right. Good. So let's see. Our first item is working through the development of our action plan. And we have follow-up on items. First is to review the social connection and engagement piece of the action plan, which was attached to the meeting notice. We'll start with that if we could. Does anybody want to share a few remarks about that to get us going? Is there anything work that should be highlighted? Now's a good time to do that. Is there anybody who served on that working group that can sh say a few and wants to share any comments about it? Is it that we did such an incredibly phenomenal job that there's really no comments, no questions, because it speaks for itself and it's such incredible quality that sometimes a painting tells you everything. Go ahead, Jane.
Just a couple of comments, and I may have sent them in last month, can't remember, but I like the template. I like the way it flows and pulls in various pieces of information. One thing I spent a bit of time with is cross-checking our plans with the H Strong VT plan, because there were some good measure sets identified in there, and it's just I thought maybe that's just another thing we can align with. There may be one or two measures we want to think about or not. Some of the categories in the plan, the statewide plan, may not be super relevant, but otherwise I thought there were some very good highlights there and some great objectives and points to consider. So thanks.
Thanks, Jane. I think the idea of checking for maybe alignment with the state plan is actually kind of an interesting. I like that idea. It would, I think, it'd be helpful for us and for those at the local level to see how the work we're laying out for Burlington does or doesn't coordinate or align with other efforts. So I think that's a great. That's a great approach to take with each of these. areas.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, just along with that, after I got Jane's comment, I did get a Word document of the Appendix A from the state plan, which allows me to kind of put in a format that we can cross-reference either strategies, objectives, or measurement tools with the state plan. And I'm thinking that I'll see how that starts to sugar off. I'm definitely going to be asking for some assistance on it, but we'll see if that's a good tool to utilize as an appendix. I think it's a good, and therefore also feeding into each of the areas as well. So we'll see how much we can do that with that in areas where there is either direct overlap or if indirect things that we can equate in some way.
Great. Sort of equivalencies, if you will. I like
yeah.
that. This is Glenn's meeting, first meeting as our consultant slash, you know, sort of co-chair on leave, if you will, but still still an active.
Recording in progress.
Did I do that? Sometimes I never sure if my speaker device, I use a speaker device because the room I sit in has so much airflow coming out of a air handling machine above my head that I'm never sure if it's drowning out my own voice. But I think that was Glenn, because he disappeared. I guess they beamed him up or something. But go ahead, Rick. Did you have something you could?
No,
he's
I was
on
just
his way back. So.
Okay. I was just going to echo what Jane had said. I think the layout is terrific, and I think I said this last month too. I think the layout is terrific. It kind of focuses attention on the major items, and then gives the city council kind of bullets where they need to plug in. So I applaud Glenn on the layout. I think it's terrific.
Great. I think we're all in agreement on that. So that's really a good thing to acknowledge and to point out. We have the family caregiver support piece. Is there any review or feedback to share from anyone on this meeting regarding that section of our of where we're headed?
Well, I was on the group that that did that, and it as and I think what we did was really quite well represented by what Glenn put together here.
Great. I think we'll find out. Hopefully, there'll be opportunities for us to engage with people in the community who can look at what we're doing and kind of do the sort of truth testing in the community about, are we hitting these issues in the most sort of precise kind of targeted way? You know, are we it's one thing to raise the host of issues that we've raised, but are we attempting to steer decision makers in the way that can have the most impact is going to be our challenge. That's our biggest, I think, to me, that's our biggest challenge is, I think it might have been Glenn at one point who said, there's lots of things we can do, but there's only a few that we actually, at a local level, can actually know that we're going to be able to address. And so I want to just remind ourselves, I like to constantly remind myself that I want to set the goals, both ambitious, but yet realistic at the same time. So, I mean, I think this one is a great example where I think we're not overreaching. It's not a moonshot, because we can't do moonshots here. We're not going to get anywhere.
Well, I think if we can work on the low hanging fruit to begin with, I mean, I think that's, you know, to get a good start on things, I think that would be most helpful. I mean, that's why I'm glad we've got the Memory Cafe starting next month. So that's like the first piece of low-hanging fruit, you know. The other question that I had was getting the folks to speak to the city council, and I think from the Dementia Family Caregiver Center point of view, we've got the CARERS program that could bring caregivers and their persons that they're caring for to city council to talk about the whole caregiver support end of things.
Do you feel, Rick, that you have a network there that you can tap into, or does someone here? So when we talk about that, I did wonder about that, about getting citizens this item here about follow up. Does everyone feel confident that we have people we can bring in who can bring that on the ground perspective?
Oh, I certainly can for the family caregiver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I think that may apply, that question may, you know, apply to all of our action areas here, if you will, is we want to make sure we have people who can, outside of the council, who can speak to the council. And maybe if we get to present this to the mayor-elect, we're going to want to do something around that as well.
And I think that there's two things there. One is who might be people who would be willing just to review the document in advance, so provide more feedback than we who've been kind of working on this, and from a more of a participant perspective, say, you know, are we missing big things here? Are we overemphasizing something? So I don't think it's out of line if people want to just take the documents as they kind of roll out now and put them in front of a group that you're working with, either care providers or participants in different types of programs or staff at your organization, and ask them to do a markup from their perspective. I think that's, as Brian said, one way of helping us continue to ground truth these things.
Yeah, and I think of Jane and Molly on this meeting today as people who have direct access to, you know, program people, but also older people in your organizations. That is there a way to kind of do a, not a focus group, I don't want to make it that formal, but is there a way to circulate these ideas among those who are going to be most impacted and get their feedback? Do you think, can you envision that for us a little bit?
I think so. I mean, we certainly have, Cathedral Square has a number of housing communities, you know, in the city. So, and you know, our largest one is in the right downtown. So we certainly have access to some residents that I think would be very happy to engage around this and to potentially speak around this. We have some residents that are, you know, kind of natural advocates in a lot of different areas. And then of course are on the staff side as well. A lot of our staff that work in, you know, assisted living, you know, as caregivers, live in Burlington. So, I mean, I think that's just that important connection to keep making. So I'm happy to reach out to our kind of team leaders to figure out the best way to connect and to engage with both those groups, staff and residents. I can definitely reach out about that.
Marcella, your hand is up in yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also aware that we didn't ever complete the RAIB work that we needed to do with it as well. I'm just trying to think of the best way of doing that. We talked about getting some drafts down to some of the places where older folks who are members of BIPOC communities might gather, like at the parks, senior center. At the one community center, and maybe through some of the other organizations as well. But we certainly need to get it to REIB to review the draft, and then also maybe through the Racial Justice Alliance as well.
Great, that's a good point. it's a helpful reminder. Our agenda calls for further discussion about how to prepare for presentations, if you will. And I think, I don't know what the best plan is. I attend more night meetings and neighborhood planning assemblies than I would like to admit, but I still find it a way to engage, even though it's a very select group. And it does give me, I still think that, you know, if you add them all together, you get about 150, 170 Burlington residents over the course of a few weeks that you get to engage with. And that's one way. They're already gathered there. So it is, you know, it's a, age-wise, it's actually a fairly mixed, matter of fact, I think it leans a little older than younger neighborhood planning assemblies. There is, you know, there are, as Molly mentioned, within housing communities, there, in some cases, there's resident advisory groups. That's an organized constituency that folks can access. I don't know if Cove has like a few key Burlington folks who are, you know, would be good sort of kind of thought leaders, if you will. I don't know if that's the right term, but, you know, folks who think about the bigger issues. If, you know, Jane has an idea.
Yeah. just to inform everyone, if you hadn't heard, Cove is in dissolution mode. I think you said Cove, right, Brian?
Did. Yeah.
So Cove is no longer, and that occurred at the end of December of 23. So while Molly and I continue to sit on that board through this difficult process, really there's no more activities going on. So that's just important for everyone to know. Yeah, very difficult. But in terms of, I'll just echo what Molly said. I mean, we obviously have outreach opportunities and can make sure we get some feedback from folks on these individual plans too.
You know, one thing to think about is just in terms of how they're written. So I could see Jane handing them off to some of her staff, for example. And, you know, that's how they think in terms of this. Is there something different we need, or a different kind of way of formatting it, so that I'm just thinking of handing one of these things out at the Old North End Center and to that lunch group, you know, there, which I've seen, you know, and expecting them to engage with this in some way, or do we need some kind of presentation? What is it going to be to, you know, be effective if we're out with an older constituency in those type of environments?
You know, that's a great question. I had a friend who years ago worked for, it was called Adult Basic Learning. It's Vermont Adult Learning now. And he would always look at stuff before I went out with it to just kind of make it so it was just more digestible, more user-friendly is what I always called it. And it really made a difference. I had lots of folks say that it it was able to be processed by a wider range of the community than if I just sat down and wrote it without his feedback. And Marcella, do you have something to add on this? Is that just your old hand still up?
I'm sorry, what did you ask me? I had to run away again.
You had your hand up, so I was wondering if you were had something to add, or if you...
No, that was... I'll take it down, sorry.
Left your blinker on, so to speak. Yeah, okay. I've done that, for sure.
So I like that idea a lot of having it, you know, making sure if we're going to share some of these plans that we're looking at it with that lens of a, you know, it's almost like you know, health literacy, you know, making sure you're is accessible to everyone.
How do you approach that now? How do you approach that? Like, when you want to make information accessible, Molly, what do you do?
It's a great question. So with the SASH program, you know, we have a particular staff member on our administrative team that, you know, this is a real passion for her, is around literacy and making sure everything's understandable to, you know, there's some particular grade level that you're supposed to try to hit. So she spends a lot of time on that. And so I don't think we have, you know, so we kind of have one person that has kind of taken that on. but that's not, and I don't know how other folks do that, but we're trying to build up our capacity there because we've found it's important, you know, just for everybody. It's not just like for our residents. I mean, we have residents with PhDs and lawyers and people without a high school education. And, you know, we have a similar situation on our staff. So I think it's important that we do it. I think we just have to figure out the best way to do so. And I don't have the perfect answer, but I'm willing to think more on it and get some advice.
And we as a city have dollars set aside for the translation, literally translation. So that piece, I feel confident we can take care of the translation. But first we have to make the whole thing a little more user-friendly. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was like seventh grade is what you're shooting for, because anyone who has a PhD should have no problem understanding something written at that level. But somebody for whom literacy is a struggle, for whatever reason, is not going to get it unless we make it more to the seventh grade levels.
I think it is seventh grade.
And the other piece of that is it just makes it easier, you know, for anybody at any level to digest more quickly. So you're not stopping to look at nuance or other kind of issues within the language. So I'm thinking of city council. Just as we looked at when I used to do more policy work with the legislature, you know, you had to do it. So when you read it once through, you could come with a full understanding. There wasn't a lot of ambiguity. The word choice was very much crisp and short. So thinking of tools like that is going to, so I was hoping to get through all five of these, getting them into this first. And then understanding what I'm proposing is trying to get a 2-page master summary done. Then the idea being that you have each of the areas would have the first 2 pages appropriate for that quick read at city council. And then you would, you know, because each layer would allow you more depth in this. As you go through, but you want to have a series of tools that you can pull out of this final action plan for different audiences. But I'll do some thinking around the two that I finished here and how we might kind of create, you know, the short sheet essentially with kind of highlights in it. That might be more appropriate, and I can circulate those as well for feedback.
And if the timeline's into April on this, I'll have more availability then as well to be able to help with that, particularly that kind of producing those. I doubt it will be a 1-pager, but a 2-pager at least. That's or the 6 bullet points that we always aim for, isn't it, Brian, for the current mayor's office?
That may change soon, but go ahead,
Jane. Yeah, just to piggyback on, I think the 1-pager concept, you know, the high level summary, also infographics are really helpful. So if we can translate any of our words into pictures and then snapshots, impact, you know, sort of visuals, I think that is something we do a fair amount. So it's maybe that there'll be information behind it that's more detailed, but snapshots and infographics may be helpful too.
I'm not going to hold you to it or put you on the spot, Jane, but do you have somebody who actually does that, or do you pay someone to do that who's outside of HWEL?
No, we use our internal team to develop our impact and infographics. Depends on what the issue is, but for internal purposes, we have a team for it. Sometimes we outsource it depending on if it's a bigger project, but mm-hmm. I think it's just the concept of easy visuals, telling a story, taking you down a pathway of information that's not necessarily having to be read.
Great. That's really, really helpful. I think we get a little too bombarded with information, generally speaking. So I think we have to always keep in mind how to be as brief as possible and yet still not, you know, not shrink it or cheapen it so that we're pretending it's a simple thing, because these are not all particularly easy things to put down on paper. But I think that would be really helpful to have someone who approaches the work in that way.
We at Cathedral Square, we also have a internal communications person that also I think does a great job at those infographics, and so I'm sure, you know, depending on what her workload looks like at the time, I know she'd be very interested in helping out, at least kind of with ideas and thoughts. So I'm sure we can help out with that.
So that would be really helpful to, you know, just, you know, even show them this and say, if you were to kind of convert this, which would be the areas that you would look at and kind of just mark it up, not necessarily do the graphic work. Then we can look at where the resources we could get to, because I have a little harder time. I'm very good with text, but moving to that kind of that picture format is not something I'm very strong at.
I'd be happy to run that by her.
Yeah, Glenn, I'm more like somebody who likes to see it and finds it really helpful, but I can't do it myself. Like, I know it when I see it, it's good, but I can't make it good.
Yeah, when you find those people that can do it, it's so great.
Yeah.
Great.
Any further comments on that or discussion about?
On, if I could go back to the big picture here for a minute, in terms of kind of the umbrella that all of this is going to sit under, one of the things that I've been struggling a little bit with, and maybe I shouldn't, is kind of the contextualization of this. Why are we doing this? How hard hitting, essentially, do we want this? In terms of bringing, do we want essentially to be bringing a smattering of small investments and programs that would be nice if they were taken up in different ways in the city? Are we really looking for some kind of broader sea change here in Burlington? You know, we kind of loosely use this framework of the age-friendly community. And if we are truly saying all of this is, if as we kind of move toward implementation, our goal is to not necessarily certify, but meet all of the criteria of an age-friendly community over time, as we layer these things in, then somehow we've got to find where's kind of the tip of the spear here that says that's what we're doing. That's why all of this is going to make a difference in the end. So as the council, I don't know how people, you know, are feeling in terms of how you want to, when we launch this, kind of what's the first statement?
A tsunami is coming, you mean? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Molly doesn't like that at all, but
no. No, let's not do tsunamis.
No.
It would be a horrible thing to watch the lake do that. Glenn, that's where my head is. I mean, I would love for the tip of the spear to be, we want to be an age-friendly community. That's easy for this Heinsberger to say, because I don't live in the city. I wish I did, but I don't. But to me, that's, with all the work that's being put into this, that's what I'd like to see as the outcome.
I think it's easy also to attach it to it's an age, you know, to really reinforce the point that it's an age-friendly community for everybody. And that enables you then to draw in the equity piece, whether that's low-income Vermonters or communities of color or folks with disabilities or folks with substance use disorder or, you know, whichever, wherever you're looking. So that's the way of kind of sharpening the spear that Glenn's talking to.
Yeah, I think the inclusivity part is so important. And I was in a meeting recently, and I can't remember which meeting it was. It might have been the Older Vermonters Caucus, but someone there was talking about, it might have been Mary from B4A, but was talking about, you know, just making sure we're not othering people. And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, when we're talking about this work, you know, anything we do to improve the lives of our older residents in Burlington is really going to improve the lives of everyone, you know, whether it's accessibility changes or transportation changes, it's going to help everybody. So I want to just kind of be sensitive to that we're not in how we put this out and approach these plans, that we're not, you know, making it seem like we had to do all this because, you know, all they feel they're aging are such a big problem. But it's really just better for our community, for everyone, that we're lifting these challenges up, working to address them, which is going to improve everybody's quality of life. And I know that sounds really broad, but I think it's worth us thinking about. It's not, again, kind of doing that othering.
Well, in, you know, my experience as a disabled person, when people put ramps in next to stairs, most people take the ramp. So if we think about it in that way, that if we build the ramps, everybody will use them.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about language in terms of how. And I have a little problem with some of the state plan work that kind of, this isn't a problem. Old people aren't a problem. I mean, and if we keep, you know, framing this all as it's a problem, you know, we can sit back with Art Wolf and then just say, you know, doomsday is upon us because we're such a big problem now. And I think there are inherent issues that Burlington and Vermont, everybody needs to confront. And the embeddedness of ageism and ableism in our policy, our infrastructure, our attitude. I mean, in some ways, I think that for me is kind of what I call the tip of the spear. It gives, frankly, in Burlington, if you look at something politically, you have to, oh, there's an ism that we have to address. And that ism, addressing it, allows for that opening those doors, creating that inclusivity that we're looking at in our community that will enrich us all. And so, I mean, that's what we did with the REIB. That was, you know, a conscious choice. If we attack those problems that are so embedded, that we will create a community that is better for all of us, not just those that fit into a particular category. So if we want to be, so I guess what I'm kind of getting, I'm kind of had drafted up a few things for the intro and I can get lost in that. So I've had to pull myself back to really work on the real issue areas here. But that introduction of how we present this out, how we, you know, what's the first statement we make here, so that it makes sense then to say, well, we're asking for real resources to move this forward. And the investment of those resources is something that will pay dividends across the city. Okay, I just wanted to, like, you know, just touch base on that, make sure I wasn't going down some long Glenn rabbit hole that wasn't going to have any relevance, or everybody was going to say, "What is going on here at the end?"
I hope we're recording this, because that sentence you just said, Glenn, was very good. So hopefully.
Marcella can pull that out and put it in the mail.
Yes.
No, it's when Burlington gets the, you know, most livable city thing. I mean, these are the kinds of things that make a city more livable.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's, I think anything we can do to, you know, highlight that is important.
So you opened this conversation, this part of it, Glenn, by saying you're looking for some feedback on how hard hitting to be. And I really want to just ask if you meant hard hitting in the sense of how you characterize the challenges facing older members of our community. Is that what you meant when you asked that?
No, I think it's more for the city to really confront that it's not just, you know, invest a little money here, invest a little money there, but that we're dealing with, you know, a systemic problem that is creating lots of other problems out there. And it is embedded in our policy statements, our HR policies, how we write job descriptions, how we build housing, kind of all of these different areas, how we think about it as individuals, and certainly how we think about it as a community, and how we think about it as governing groups. So I think it's kind of like, well, this is the wake-up call. This is saying we are going to take on ageism and ableism in our community. And we're going to keep that kind of front and center. And that all of the, that's one of the measures we're going to have in terms of as we take up these more discrete programmatic investments, policy changes, that we're working against that bigger piece. So that's a little different than just saying, you know, what can we do as a city to make things better for older adults here that live here? Brian is unstable. Yes. Hopefully he will pop back in. I apologize. That was me earlier on the big thing. I was on my third piece of technology trying to get into this meeting, where one is saying, you know, I have to contact some IT person, which I don't know who it is since it's a personal computer. And then another one that just wouldn't run off. So I had to get an iPad to get on initially. So. But I think I have my question answered, that I should kind of move ahead in that vein and start kind of forming up some language for you all to consider and think about, that really speaks to kind of where the council has been, where it wants to go with the city. Then I'll as well start looking at how we continue to edit this down. So that we have more talking points, essentially, to get out there and get that kind of feedback.
Glenn, thanks. I'm not harassing you about anything. I just, there are two drafts available at the moment on there. So there are two of the five working groups that are done at the moment.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to check that I hadn't missed anything.
Yeah, and I worked with Allison briefly on a better introduction to the social connection and engagement piece. So I'll send you the updated one of that. It's just, it's not substantively different. It's just got some edits and language.
Okay, thank you.
And if we could just step back for a second, Glenn, back to the conversation of infographics. You know, we were talking about, when we bring it out to the public, I think the infographics and the easy one or two pager would be perfect for the city council too. To be quite honest.
Yeah, I think again there'll be kind of, my hope is the document will allow us to kind of plug and play with different things And there may be, you know, we may have a kind of a separate public public document or public explanation or public, you know, kind of PR piece, you know, that we want people to kind of look at and also support, certainly going forward. And it may be that that leads to the council in the future putting a how can you get involved, you know, kind of approach to this.
And I guess I want to clarify too, when we're talking about sharing the drafts out with various community members for kind of feedback, you know, are we thinking that we would put together the whole initial draft that we all feel like this is, we're ready to put this out, we have the infographics on there, and then we put it out to, you know, Molly and Jane, I think you said sharing with staff and residents, or are we thinking we would do it and sort of, okay, we have two drafts ready to go? I'm just thinking, you know, to what you're speaking to, Glenn, I think if we have sort of the whole piece together, that really we would get the best feedback, including maybe people saying, wow, like this doesn't feel in alignment, or people really feeling empowered by kind of that broader message we're trying to share. And that can kind of reinforce the message we're trying to share. So I guess I wasn't sure what, if we kind of discussed what our plan is and the timeline for getting that feedback and what our overall timeline is. And just, I guess that's just something that's coming up for me today. Kind of what is our timeline and more specifics, like when will we get it out to who and at what stage in that, in our drafting process?
Brian, do you want to?
I only was going to say that the I'm going to send put it in the chat is the Wyndham aging plan that many of us saw. It was struck me as really good, but perhaps trending toward less accessible, I think, than we want to be. So if we're going to look for an example of it's a 30-page report and it's full of lots of tables and graphs, but I don't think it's all that user friendly unless this is the kind of thing you spend a lot of time doing and reading about and talking about. I don't think it was all that. I mean, as a, you know, my dad was a sociologist and my stepmom was a gerontologist. So like, this isn't new to me, but for most people, I don't think this is what they're going to relate to. So I want it to be relatable and accessible, and can't emphasize that enough.
And I think, you know, to Allison's question, the target right now is to move toward a May presentation in City Council and to the new mayor. So let that all get formed, you know, so there'll be obviously some organizing time for them, but not let them get too far into their new agenda before we hit it. My goal is to have the drafts of all five areas done in the next couple of weeks, and then be working on the kind of contextual material, but also that's in the broader outline of the plan, but also try to whittle down to those more accessible documents about what we want to, where we're putting our priorities. I guess, you know, and maybe that's how I would couch it, is saying Burlington is seeking to be an age-friendly community. That generally means, you know, six bullets. To do that, we're going to work in these five areas and do, you know, these are our priority actions that we're going to take. And that would give us a shorter, hopefully concise document that is easily digestible, and people could look at one small part of it, or they could look at the comprehensive piece. They'd have access to the draft of the longer one if they want to reference more deeply. But I think it'd give folks a chance to say, nah, that's, why is that a priority when you should be doing X? I mean, that's the type that's going to be useful feedback in advance, in April, in advance of us going to City Council, I think there's no magic to when we finish this at this point. And I think the idea is we finish it well. We finish it when all of you, you know, who put so much time into this say, this is what we really want council and the mayor's office to engage with and move forward with. So we'll kind of keep checking on that with enough notice so Brian can get us on the agenda for city council. And we'll have to, I don't even know what the protocol for something like this is. Do you go and present to the mayor first? Do you do it all at once since the mayor is part of, you know, the whole council proceedings? And maybe that's the most equitable way of doing it. But I'd say yeah, we'd probably need a couple of weeks notice to make sure we've got a big enough place on the agenda to make it worthwhile doing the presentation and bringing in the support people that we want for this.
Yeah, we should definitely talk through a kind of a strategy for how best to share and release and build support and hopefully consensus for the work that we're hoping, you know, gets accelerated through the adoption of an action plan. It will be an extremely busy April, May, June because of the new administration and an unusually challenging city budget with some fairly significant shortfalls that are expected because of just a whole number of factors. But it's going to be a really, I think we're, I don't know if I use the word austerity yet, but it's going to feel more austere than anything we've seen in a while. And that's just the reality of what we're in right now, but it doesn't mean that we don't lay out what we think is the best plan for making, reaching this goal of an age-friendly community for everyone. It may mean that we have to go look around in other further places, different places to get resources if we are going to be realistic about what the city can do. I want to manage some expectations there. Janet.
Yeah, I just wondered, given that, when is the best time to present the plan? Will people even hear it, given what you've just said? I mean, is it better to wait a few months? I'm not quite sure when we're going to be ready anyway, but I guess it's a hard thing to decide when is the best time.
It is. I think this is just a conventional wisdom or a conventional approach is to have an overview, a high level summary shared in an oral fashion as well as a written document. And then it gets referred to a committee and then it gets discussed in more detail there. And the council committee is probably going to be community development. Neighborhood revitalization is probably the most logical place where I think it will get very thorough vetting, if you will, and then come back with some recommendations for short-term actions, medium and long-term, maybe. It's kind of something I've been envisioning for this work, rather than have like, we're going to go in before the budget gets set because we're asking for a big old check here.
Hmm. That sounds reasonable, Brian, what you just said. That sounds like a scenario that would actually happen. And when it's discussed by the committee, would they likely call in members from this group?
Absolutely. We would be tapping people to come in. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
My guess is they devote a meeting to like one or two items at a time. Like they only get five areas. They would take one and focus on it for a meeting. And then we bring in another, you know, we just go through it like that.
Great. Sounds like that would be very meaningful to have those more detailed discussions.
Yeah, otherwise it's too cursory. It's like a drive through. We don't want to drive through. Yeah. I lost my internet for a few minutes. So luckily the meeting's recorded because I bet some amazing things were said during that time. but is where are we at with our agenda here? So Marcella had it in the chat. I'm going to try and scroll. I think we heard when you said, Glenn, that you know the early next few weeks, maybe beginning of April, we think we'll have drafts for all five areas. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. That's really great. I think that gives us, that really lays the foundation well. What happens is the mayor gets sworn in April 1st. The mayor that's sitting right behind me here goes home that evening and doesn't come back to work. It's over. And the new administration starts April 2nd. And then they, at that meeting on April 1st, they select a city council president and a board of finance. And then the council president selects committees. And that will happen pretty quickly, I think. I would say about a week. And then, so we're into like the early, maybe that week of, what would it be, the 8th of April, where committees are formed and they start scheduling meetings shortly thereafter. So you're looking at mid-April before the committee structure kind of gets going again. So fortunately, this is a topic that concerns everybody. This isn't some niche thing. This is a universal. If you're lucky, you get there. So even though our meetings are scheduled to go 90 minutes, I don't know that we have a need to keep going unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think I've gotten some really great feedback and some guidance. So this is helpful to me in terms of what we've been able to cover today.
Great. Is there anything you, anybody else needs or feels like they want to say or speak up about or share or announce or anything that would be useful while this group is gathered? Allison, I saw your hand there.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, I don't know if anyone else on the council is going, but next week when we're supposed to meet is the Vermont Geriatrics Conference. So I'll be attending that. I don't know if anyone else will be. So just putting that out there. Rick?
Others attending, looks like it. Mm-hmm. Where does that take place?
The DoubleTree.
It's maybe not that funny, but I'll just share that we were joking with a friend recently that my wife was 37 when we had our second child, and they called her a geriatric pregnancy. So I think the term geriatric stretches pretty.
Yeah. Now, a lot of women have trouble with that.
Oh, we went, yeah. What? Like, my grandmother lived to be 105. How could she be geriatric? Yeah.
They should find a new term.
Yeah. Yeah. It just has connotations. It doesn't need, it's just a word, but still.
Yeah.
All right, Jane, I think you're the
Jane.
Direction. We'll all say, see you next time, right?
All right. Okay. Great.
Thanks all. Everybody. Thanks for the good work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.